This week's parasha is Parashas Kisavei, and there's a very interesting pasuk and a beautiful arachayim on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'samachta b'chalatayiv." We're supposed to rejoice for all the good. Asher nasan l'cha Hashem le'kecha l'beisacha. A person, when he has good in his life, and we all have hopefully a lot of good in our lives, we have to rejoice over that good. We have to appreciate it and understand that it's a gift from the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is one of the commandments that we have in this week's parasha. What good are we talking about in this pasuk? When it says v'samachta b'chol hatayiv, what does that mean? Is it referring to my car, to my laptop, to my pool? What's it talking about? V'samachta b'chol hatayiv. So if you look in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he has a very famous vart. It might be the most famous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in his entire commentary. And he says, Yirma is b'maymer b'chol hatayiv. When the Torah is saying these words that you should be happy, you should rejoice b'chol hatayiv, chol hatayiv is the Torah. You should be happy with the Torah. Kimamaram zal, as Chazal teach us, ein tayv ela tayra. There's no word when it says tayv other than tayra. The definition, the absolute definition of tayv, of good, is not all of the things that we think are good in this world, but it's tayra. Shem hayu bnei adam margishin v'misikas v'arevas tuv ha-tayra. If people would really understand, if people would comprehend the sweetness and the pleasantness of the greatness of Torah, hayu mishtagin u'mislatin achareha, people would go crazy and they would be in a frenzied state of trying to attain and master the Torah. And the entire world, the entire civilization around us that we look to for fun, for entertainment, for enjoyment, for pleasure, all of the things that the world runs after would not be considered lima uma. It would not be considered anything in our eyes. Ki atayra kaileles kalatayve shabailam. Because the Torah is kailel, the Torah contains and subsumes within it all of the goodness in the world. This is the vart of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in this week's parasha. This is like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. They made songs out of these words of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Torah is kailal, all the Torah Shabbam. The reason why we don't understand this, and why this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh might seem foreign to us, we'll discuss soon. But what the Aruch Chaim is saying, kipshuta, is that when the Torah says you should rejoice in all of the good that you have, and we naturally start thinking about our bank accounts and our vacation homes and all the stuff that we have in life, and maybe the last thing on our list is the Torah, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, no, the Torah means that you should rejoice in the Torah. Be happy with the fact that you have Torah. Because there is nothing more sweet, more pleasant, more geschmack, more enjoyable, more enviable than being able to sit down and learn a Daf Gemara. Being able to listen to a shir. Being able to sit with a chavrusa, being able to just think in learning, prepare a chabura, be mavir sedra, whatever it is, any little morsel of Torah, there is such sweetness to it, there is such geschmack to it. And if a person would know this, if people around us would be aware of how sweet the Torah really is, They would go crazy pursuing the Torah. They would literally become intoxicated and obsessed in their focused pursuit of Torah. That's how great the Torah is. Just like people go crazy for other things. If a person wants to become partner in a law firm, they'll stop at nothing until they attain that goal. If a person wants to be a doctor, if a person wants to be an architect, if a person wants to attain some higher degree, or they want to make a lot of money, they will do nothing until they stop. Nothing will stop them until they're able to get that goal, because that's what they want. Why? Why do they want that? So, because they conjure up in their mind that once they attain those goals for themselves, that's when life will start being good for them. That's when they will get pleasure out of life. The Arachayim HaKadosh is saying that if we would understand how Geshmak Torah is, how much pleasure Torah gives to people that are really into it and really attain it and really understand it, then we would go crazy. We would stop at nothing until we attain a mastery of Torah. Why are we not so motivated to always be learning, to always be steigen, to always be chazering? Why are we not up at 2 o'clock in the morning learning? Why are we not up an entire Friday night or half a Friday night learning? Why do we go back to the dorm rooms and read newspapers and do all the things that we do? Why? Why are we not focused on pursuing Torah? Because we don't understand how sweet it is. We don't understand how full of pleasure it is to become a Talmid Chacham and to attain the Mesikas HaTorah. So therefore we don't. But if we would, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, if people would understand how sweet and how pleasant it is, Hayu Mishtagin Mislatin Acharya, there's no doubt, says the Arachayim, that people would go crazy in the pursuit of Torah, just like they go crazy in the pursuit of other things. And those other things are not really taif. Torah is taif. So how much more so we would put all of that energy and drive and ambition into attaining the Mesikas HaTorah. There's a similar Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara darshins a pasuk in Mishlei, Ba'avasa Tishke Tamid. Shlomo HaMelech writes that in the love of Torah, a person is intoxicated. People that are really into Torah are completely consumed by Torah. They don't do anything but Torah. They eat Torah, they sleep Torah, they take a walk with Torah, they're on an airplane, they're thinking and learning, they're constantly in learning. Ba'avasa, in the love of Torah, Tishke Tamid, a person will be also a lashon of intoxicated, or a lashon of completely consumed by Torah. And the Gemara in Erev and Darshan's this pasuk and says that Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas is a perfect example of this pasuk. Hayayeshe v'aisik b'ter b'shok ha'tachten shal tzipayri v'sadinai muta b'shok ha'alien shal tzipayri. There was, in the city of Tzipayri, there was a very big marketplace, and there was a lower level and an upper level of this marketplace. And Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas was so into learning, he was so enamored, obsessed, consumed by Torah, that he was like an absent-minded professor. He would go into the Shuk HaTachten Shel Tzipayri. He would leave in the Shuk HaTachten Shel Tzipayri. He would leave his bags, he would leave his suitcase, he would leave his coat, his hat. And then he would go up to the second floor, and that's where he was sitting and learning. He completely forgot that he had left everything on the first floor. And in the Shuk HaTachten Shel Tzipayri, there were a lot of unsavory characters and a lot of people that, as soon as they saw his wallet and his knapsack and whatever he had there, they would have copped it. Imagine leaving your stuff in some mall. It's not going to last too long there. People will go and they'll just take it. But he was so absent-minded in his love of Torah, he completely forgot about it. It wasn't on his mind, b'chol. It wasn't important to him. And the Gemara says that when he came back down to fetch his stuff, maybe a few hours later, there was a scorpion that was surrounding this suitcase and all of his stuff, protecting it until he returned. Ba'avasa tishke tamid. In the Ava, in the love of Tyra, he forgot the entire world. The entire world became meaningless to him. All of his stuff, all of his possessions that everybody else is so consumed by, it was not important to him. He wasn't in this world. He was in the Shukayalian Shaltzipayr. He was in an upper world. He was in a higher world than the rest of us are. We're very concerned with where our suitcases are, where they're not, where they're going. He doesn't care. He just wants to sit and learn. That's all that's important to him in his love of Tyra. Because he understood the Arevas and the Mesikos at Tyra. Once heard, I remember in eighth grade, my eighth grade rabbi told us a beautiful story about Rav Ruderman that stuck with me. I never saw it in print. I don't know where he heard it from, but this is what he used to say this, my rabbi, that Rav Ruderman, who was Rosh Yeshiva in Ner Yisrael in Baltimore, is one of the Gedalei Adar. He was absolutely brilliant. He was a Bucky Nifla in Shas and Paiskin. He knew Shas like we know Asherah. He was like the highest level of learning. In fact, there is a volume of Yeshurun, a very big Torah journal that comes out twice a year. And they had a section of it dedicated to Rav Ruderman. I think we have it in the Beis Medrash. And it speaks about how the mastery that he had of Shas and Paiskin. And he used to say that if a Talmud of mine doesn't know Shas, he shouldn't call himself a Talmud. That's the expectation that he had of his Talmud. He had a few of Talmudim that are taka on that level. He raised many Talmudim that aspired to such greatness. But he used to take walks in Baltimore. And on these walks, he would chazer shas. He'd be able to go through mesechta after mesechta, Gemara, Rashi, Taisus, Rishayim, Achrayim, while he was taking walks. But of course, you know, if you're taking a walk and your head is in the Shukhalian Shaltzipayri, you're thinking about Taira, you're obviously not exactly, remembering exactly where you're walking. But who knows where I'm walking? I don't know. He's walking in Baltimore. Baltimore, we know, has good parts of Baltimore, bad parts of Baltimore. And anyway, he ended up in the middle of Yehupitz. He had no idea where he was. You know, he was in the middle of, Maseches Avodah Zarah or something. All of a sudden, he realized, I have no idea where I am. So in the olden days, they had what was called a phone booth. No one had cell phones. They didn't have the concept wasn't even there yet. And so you go into a phone booth, you put a nickel in the phone, maybe it was a penny at the time, and you make a phone call, and you call. So he was lost, so he went into a phone booth, and he said to somebody, I'm lost in the middle of Baltimore, I don't know where I am, please pick me up. They said, okay, Rebbe, where are you? We don't know where to be. They didn't have GPS or any. Where are you? So he says, I have no idea. I'm in the middle of Baltimore. His head was mamish in Shas. So he says, okay, Rebbe, go out and you'll see a sign, and you'll see like crosswalks, and on the corner you'll see two names, and I'll come pick you up wherever you tell me. He says, okay, good. So he goes outside and he comes back in. And he said, okay, I know where I am. He says, I'm on the corner of telephone and telephone. Because on the top of the phone booth, on every side of the phone booth, there is the word telephone. Now, this doesn't mean that Rav Ruderman was not, smart. Rav Ruderman was the smartest person in the world. But he didn't understand this world. He wasn't interested in this world. It wasn't what other people consider chashuv, this world that was irrelevant to him. He had no interest in it. It had no meaning to him. We're impressed by things that to him were worthless. If it didn't translate into Torah, it wasn't impressive to him. It wasn't anything to him. Ba'avaslei tishke tamid, he was just completely in love with Torah. He was obsessed with Torah. In my book, Great Jewish Photographs, I have I think it's the first picture in the book, is a photograph of Rav David Karlin. Rav David Karliner was a known gain in learning. He was a contemporary of Chaim Brisker, and all the Gedalei Yisrael held him in the highest esteem. And there's a very famous picture of him, and he's basically over Gemara, he's learning, and his hand is like this, like a classical Talmudic rabbi picture, and he's like staring out into the oblivion, and it says, I wrote in the story behind it, which I did some research about, that the photographer took a picture of Rav David Karliner while he was learning. He was like by a window, and he took the picture of him, and he wasn't like trying to hide from Rav David Karliner. He was like took a picture right in front of his face, but he was so obsessed with the learning that he was doing that he didn't even notice that there was a photographer taking a picture of him. He was like in a different world. He was in the Shuk Aliyah and Shel Tzipor. He wasn't at all, he didn't even like blink. Imagine if you're sitting by your stand there and sometimes the photographers come in for the PR shoots and they're like all over the place. They're like on top of you and over, video cameras. And he didn't even chop. He didn't even know that people were taking pictures of him. Rav Shach was famous for having this love of Torah. They say a beautiful story that once Rav Shach came into the Beis Medrash in Panovich, with 1,000 guys learning, with a beautiful golden Aron HaKadosh behind him, and Rav Shach was like walking through the Beis Medrash, and everybody was standing up as he was coming in, and he was holding a little girl by the hand. And people were like looking a little strange at Rav Shach, like was it take your great granddaughter to work day? Like who is this girl? Anyway, somebody finally, and this girl was just walking around like with Rav Shach wherever he was going, looking for a shtender, looking for a safer, looking. And they asked Rav Shach, like Talma came over, said, Rebbe, is this your granddaughter, your great granddaughter? Who is this? Rav Shach says, who are you talking about? He says, down. So Rav Shach starts laughing. And this girl's like looking up. And they said, what's so funny? So he says, I was crossing the street and this girl, in Eretz Yisrael, they let little kids be crossed by complete strangers, by the intersections. They could go wherever they want as long as some adult, crosses them, which seems more dangerous than an oncoming car sometimes. But anyway, this girl was waiting. She asked me if I would cross her, and I held her hand, and I was holding in a Rambam, and she never let go. I never let go. So here she is with me in the Beis Medrash. That's Ba'avaslei Tishke Tamid. He wasn't in this world. I mean, he knew that he was holding this girl's hand, but that was it. Then he forgot, and he got back into the Rambam, and that was it. Now, this is what our Gedalei Yisrael were all about. They lived this Aruch Hayim HaKadosh. They understood that this was life. Life was not about all the things that we're busy with. And we're all busy with everything. We have everything on our mind, everything on our plate, and we're living in this world. But it's so enviable to aspire to these Gedalei Yisrael, to have this as our goal in life, to be able to sever our ties a little bit with this world, not to completely sever them. Obviously, this is not a shmooze that we should all be complete prushim from Eilam Hazeh and have nothing to do with Eilam Hazeh, and not get a job and not be able to be focused on our families and our careers. Of course, we have to do that. But wouldn't it be nice if when we're learning, we could actually be in this beautiful bubble of Torah. Be able to be obsessed and consumed by Torah Kedosha and feel the mesikos and the arevas of Torah. There's nothing more beautiful in life, and I've said this a million times, but there's nothing more beautiful in life than a person that is a bachar that's preparing a chabura. And I think everyone that's ever prepared a chabura knows exactly what I'm talking about. You have a sugya that you're assigned to learn or that you took upon yourself to give a chabura on. And now you have a job, and now you want to come up with a geshmak, a chiddush, a kasha, and a teretz, and rayas, and lamdas, and a whole week you have to prepare it. That week is Olam Haba. Why is it Olam Haba? It's pressure, but it's the most beautiful pressure in the world. You're looking up Rishonim and Achrayim and bringing rayas and talking and learning, and you're in a different world. You're in a world of Torah, you're in a world of Kedusha, you're in a world that you never want to end. It's a happy world, it's a sweet world, it's a pleasant world, it's one that you feel Kedusha, you feel attached to the Torah. And people that are Gedali Yisrael have this. And not just Gedali Yisrael, there are people that are our age, and maybe even some people in this Beis Medrash that have this. But that's where we want to be in life. When we're able to understand the Arachayim HaKadosh, that if a person would understand the Mesikos V'Arevas HaTaira HaYimishtagin U'Mislatin Achara, you'd be in a frenzied pace to try to find it, to try to gain it. That's the happiness. That's where a person could tap into Nitzchius. That's when a person can feel relevant in this world. That should be our goal in life. Our goal in life should be that we are absent-minded when we're learning. I'm not interested in my phone anymore. I'm not interested in my friends. I'm not interested in my family. I'm not interested in all the things going on in my world. And they're all good things, Baruch Hashem. But when I'm learning, I just want to be focused on learning. I want to be able to get into learning, to feel a geschmack in learning. Because when I could understand how sweet learning is, when I could taste that a little bit, then I will just want more and more and more. It reminds me of like they asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once, if you have a half an hour to learn every day, what should you learn? Should you learn Musar or should you learn Gemara? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you should learn Musar. They said, why? What's wrong with Gemara? You're against Gemara. He said, no. He says, because if you learn Musar for that half hour, you'll find a lot more time to learn Torah. If a person understands how important it is to learn and to be orangutan in learning, to be completely consumed in learning, they would find more time. We would find more time every day to learn. We go through some days that we don't even learn a word because we're so busy with everything else and we're running away from learning. We think like, you know, learning is the last thing that I should be doing today. But if we would understand how geschmack it is, it would be the thing that we're going to every single day first and last. As a Rebbe of mine once said, you should go to sleep at night with a kasha and you should wake up with a teretz. That's how we should be with learning. I have a Rebbe that's so like this. He's like an absent-minded professor, but in a wonderful way. That he's a legend. Like guys talk about him. He's a famous person. I'm not going to say who it is because if you don't understand it, it sounds like ridiculous. But when he carries like a pizza box, and this is when he had kids, you know, that were in his house, young kids, he would carry a pizza box through the streets of Brooklyn to bring home. But he would be thinking and learning, so basically you'd see him in walking through the streets of Brooklyn carrying a pizza box like sideways. Instead of carrying it this way, it would be like under his arm and he was just like walking and learning, talking. That seems ridiculous, right? If you'd see a guy do that, you'd think the guy's off his rockers. But I'm jealous of my Rebbe because it means that that's all he had in life. That's all he wanted in life. The pizza wasn't the chashuva thing that you're holding like this, like it's a crown. Pizza is something you have to eat. Okay, so I'm going to bring it home. But like, he wasn't thinking that he was going to ruin the pizza. But it was memela. That he just had no interest in it. It wasn't on his mind. Because Torah was paramount to him and is paramount to him. Imagine if we had that hergish to Torah. Imagine if we would understand the Mesikas HaTorah. Imagine how our lives would be so great. So we have to ask ourselves, is the Torah so geshmak to us? Do we have that Mesikos Varevas HaTorah? And when the Torah says in this week's parasha of V'samachta B'chal HaTayv, does the Arachayim HaKadosh immediately pop into our heads? As V'samachta B'chal HaTayv, you should be happy with all the good. What do you define as good in your life? What do I define as good in my life? Is the Torah really the thing that is the Tayv? That's the Spitz best in my life? Is it the sweetest? Is there a Mesikos V'arevas HaTorah? Is it? Ask yourself. Is it sweet to you? Or is it a chore? It's something that I know I have to do. I know I get schar for. I know that it's important. But do you feel the Mesikos V'arevas HaTorah? Rav Shmuel Barenbaum, the great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in Brooklyn, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, had a kasha on a bracha that we say every morning in Birchas HaTorah. V'harev na Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, make the Torah sweet to me. Make it geshmak to me. Make it extra, extra flavorful to me. So Rav Shmuel Barenbaum never understood this bracha, because he loved Torah. He said, I don't understand this bracha. He said, did anyone ever go into an ice cream store? You go into a Baskin Robbins, let's say, and they give you like a caramel mocha, vanilla crunch, whatever. And you say to the guy, thank you very much, do you have sugar? Is there any sugar in the store? You have like one of those sugar containers? Sugar? No, we don't have that in the store. What? This isn't a coffee shop. What do you need sugar for? He said, well, I want to put the sugar on top of my ice cream cone. What do you mean sugar on top of an ice cream cone? The ice cream is the sweetest thing in the world. You're going to put sugar on? It's disgusting. He says, what do you mean, Maharev na Hashem Elokeinu, make it sweet? What do you mean, make it sweet? It's already sweet. It's the sweetest thing in the world. Why do I have to ask Hashem to put sugar on top of it? Is there anything sweeter than Torah? That's from Shmuel Berenbaum's kasha, but we don't understand the kasha. We could answer that kasha very easily. No, it's not sweet. I do need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it sweet because I don't feel it's sweet. So what happened to us? Why do we feel that we're learning enough? We've been learning enough in yeshivas, in high school, in Eretz Yisrael, and here. Why don't we feel the Mesikos HaTorah? Why is it that when we sit down to Gemara, we don't feel it, or we don't always feel it, or we hardly ever feel it? Why is it that way? Maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but maybe there's some people here that also feel that way. So the shmooze is for the two of us. Why is it that there's a difficulty in feeling the Mesikos HaTorah? Why are we not mishtagin u'mislatin achareah? Why do we still feel that Olam Hazeh is it, and we're not yet considering, like the Arachai Makar says, that Olam Hazeh is l'ma umah, it's nothing, because we have the Torah? Why is it that, what's missing in us? We're giving it enough chance. We're giving it a fair shake. Why do we not yet feel the Mesikos V'arevas HaTorah? You know, Corona is something that we all speak about. I'm really, I've been sick of talking about Corona already months, because everything is Corona, Corona, Corona. You know, with the quarantines and with the this and coming to different states and travel. Like, I can't talk about it anymore. But there's definitely a great Musar Haskel to take out of Corona. There are many Musar Haskels to take out of Corona. But one thing that we could take out of it is we know that a symptom of Corona is that you lose your taste. You lose your smell for something. You lose your taste for something. Many people have that symptom. And many people, by the way, still haven't gotten it back. I just spoke to a Talmud. He, He added a couple of months ago. Most people get the smell. He still doesn't have a smell back. That's Shilas, and with Abdullah, with Barmini Basamim, and all types of things. But it's an interesting phenomenon that Corona does take away a person's taste. That means that everybody around you is enjoying the pizza, but you can't taste it because you have Corona. That's sort of what the machla that we all have in a certain sense, or the people that understand what I'm talking about have. They see other people around that seem to be enjoying their learning, and I'm not. Everyone has a smell for the geschmack of learning. Everyone has a taste for the geschmack of learning, but I don't. Why is it that I don't have that geschmack in learning and other people do? They say a maisa with Rav Steinemann, that Rav Steinemann, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, was approached by a bacher. Now Rav Steinemann was a person who was completely misuluk from Tainuga Elam Hazeh. He had no interest. He mamish was a living, breathing Aruch Hayim HaKadosh in this regard. He had no interest in Elam Hazeh. If anyone ever visited his apartment, or you've seen pictures, or you've heard about it, he lived in squalor. He lived in absolute, he lived in an apartment that you wouldn't spend the night in. The walls were broken, the paint was peeling. He lived he sat on a bed with a chair propping up his back. The furniture was broken. He had no interest. He had mamish no Olam Hazeh. He didn't want Olam Hazeh. He wasn't interested in it. And all he wanted was learning. That's all he wanted. Tyra. He didn't eat anything. He didn't sleep anything. He just wanted learning. So an American bacher once came into Rav Steinemann and said to him, Rebbe, he says, I don't have a geschmack in learning. So I know you have a geschmack in learning. Everybody has a geschmack in learning around me. I don't have a geschmack in learning. What am I doing wrong? He says, it's like everybody's telling me that ice cream is delicious, honey is delicious, and I don't taste anything. What should I do? So Rav Steinemann says, honey is a universally sweet thing. It's intrinsically sweet, but not everybody enjoys honey. Who doesn't enjoy honey? He says a person that has sores in their mouth, that has some sort of sickness in their mouth, when they eat honey, it aggravates it. It's not geschmack. Some people have like ulcers in their stomach, and they're lactose intolerant. So everybody else is enjoying ice cream. This kid can't eat ice cream. There are people that have allergies. Other people can enjoy peanuts. Other people will die if they touch a peanut. There are certain sicknesses that people have that don't allow them to enjoy things in life. Rav Steinemann said to this bacher that the reason why certain people enjoy Torah and certain people don't, the people that don't are sick. What does it mean they're sick? There's something that they're doing wrong in their life that's not permitting themselves to enjoy. Torah is universally sweet. Torah by nature is sweet. There's nothing more sweet in the world. Torah is sweet. If we're not personally enjoying Torah, it's not the Torah's fault. It's something in us that we have to rectify, we have to fix, we have to go to a doctor of some sort in order to correct something in us, and then we would hopefully be able to begin appreciating Torah. There's a chazal on a pasuk in one of these parshas coming up, in Vayelech maybe, and it says, Ki loy davar reku mikem. The Torah is not something that's empty from you. And chazal darshan im reku, if you find that the Torah is empty, mikem. It's from you. Don't blame it on the Torah. The Torah is not empty. The Torah is not vacuous. The Torah is not something that doesn't have appeal. The Torah does have appeal. If we're not enjoying the Torah, it's because there's something about us that we have to fix in order to ready ourselves for Torah. What Rav Steinman was actually referring to was, he said that the sores in our mouth come because we speak Lashon Hara. And that's why when our mouth learns Torah, it's not able to really appreciate Torah, because there's spiritual sores in our mouth because we learn Torah. Maybe we have Nivel Peh, maybe we're speaking Dvarim B'Tehillah, maybe we're being Maitzi Shemra. Something we're using our mouth for inappropriate reasons. But I'd like to just extend Rav Steinemann's Var to everything. Yeah, Lashon Hara is definitely a problem, but our Shmiras Seinayim is definitely a problem. The eyes that we're using to learn Torah with are looking at stuff that we absolutely should not be looking at. And the ears that we need to listen to Shir are ears that we're using for things that we're not supposed to be using them for listening to Lashon Hara, listening to music that's inappropriate, listening to shows, to podcasts, to radio, to whatever, things that are not always appropriate for our ears, for our holy ears. We consume our minds and our souls with news and with constant sports and entertainment and culture that are not appropriate for us. And then we wonder, hey, why is Torah not sweet? Torah is sweet. It's not the Torah's fault. It's our fault. And that's another lesson, I think, that we can learn from Corona on a spiritual level. I found that once we start quarantining, and once you start, like, you know, becoming secluded from the world a little bit, the world becomes a lot less interesting and your home becomes a lot more interesting. You actually have time to focus on your children, to learn with your children, to schmooze with your children, to learn Torah, to daven like a mensch. Because the more you separate from the world, the more the world of Torah becomes interesting, the world of Kedusha. Quarantining is not geschmack, but it's sometimes good to quarantine. Quarantining meaning that you're able to be menatek yourself, to sever yourself from this world to a certain degree. And when our minds are able to heal a little bit, when our mouths, our ears, our souls are able to step back from this world and to get back to what it was designed for, what our eyes were designed for, what our ears were designed for, what our mouth was designed for, we're able to focus on Torah and Ruchnius to the exclusion of many other things. That's when a person is able to really appreciate the Mesikas HaTorah. The Torah is sweet. It's waiting for us to learn. But if we're learning Torah and we have a cell phone in one pocket and we have people, you know, calling us in another from another side of the room, and our minds are on 50 different subjects and 50 different chores and 50 different things at all times, and we're not giving our complete focus and attention to Torah, at least when we're learning Torah, then don't expect it to be sweet, because it wasn't designed to be sweet for us, because it's our fault. Rav Aaron Cutler used to say that we think, when we learn, that learning is really a sacrifice. It's not geschmack, we're doing it. But really, when we're learning, or people are dedicating their life to Kailal and Taira, they're basically giving up on Eilam Hazeh. They're sacrificing this world, but they're getting a better world. They're getting the world of Eilam Haba someday. Rav Aaron says the opposite is true. People that sit and learn Torah are getting the most Eilam Hazeh in this world. They are really the people that have Eilam Hazeh, the people that are living the life, and they have vacation homes, and they have sports cars, and they have trips, and they have clothing, and all the things that everybody's running after. They don't have Eilam Hazeh. He quotes the Igaris Hagra, who famously says that when a person indulges in this world, it's kishaisem mayim meluchim. It's like drinking salt water. Sometimes you're out in a rowboat and you're thirsty, so you dip your cup into the water and you drink it. And you think that, okay, this is great, I'm drinking water, I'm gonna, now my thirst is gonna be quenched. Zok de gain. It appears to the person temporarily like, oh, Baruch Hashem, I have water. Now my thirst is quenched. What happens? The salt makes a person thirstier. You think people that have a fancy car are ever happy with that car? They're always looking to the next model car. A bigger house, a better kitchen, a better computer, a better vacation. They're never happy. They're just drinking and drinking and wanting more. Torah is the opposite. Torah, you learn, you feel good, you feel happy. The greatest happiness is in this world. Rav Aaron Kahlo used to tell his balabatim that you have to learn more Torah. They said, why do we have to learn more Torah? You promised us that if we learn Torah, if we support Torah, if we support your yeshivas and other yeshivas, then we'll go up to Eilam Haba and we'll be like you. We'll be Tamid Chacham in Eilam Haba. We'll be able to be talking to Rebbe Akiva Eiger in the next world. He says, yes, Eilam Haba you have. I'm worried about your Eilam Haza. This world you don't have. What do you mean you don't have? We're living in nice houses. We're driving nice cars. We're living it up. No, you don't have Eilam Haza. I have Eilam Haza. I want you to have Eilam Haza. This is what like Esav was never got about Yaakov Avinu. He thought that he had Eilam Haza. The deal was that he was supposed to have Eilam Haza, and Yaakov Avinu was supposed to have Eilam Haba. In the end, he says, I don't have anything. And he's running around, he's chasing after Chayis and the Sada. He's eating lentils, and he doesn't have Eilam Haza. It's Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't have Eilam Haza, he doesn't have Eilam Haba in the end. He's chasing, he's a chaser, he's a hunter, he's pursuing, but he has nothing. But Yaakov Avinu Ish Tam Yeshiv Aholim, we sit in the Beis Medrash and we're able to focus on our learning, put away the phone, put away the distractions, and just learn and have a geshmakim with our chavrusam and our shir and our yeshiva on Shabbos, on Yontif, by Tishon. There's nothing greater than this. The Samachti B'chalal Tov, we have to appreciate what we have. The Tov that we have right now, I don't know what's going to be with us in a few years from now. You go out and you become married and children and obligations. These are the times that you have to chaperein. Who knows what's going to be in a year or two or three? Doesn't get easier. Torah doesn't get more geshmak as you get older. If you don't have a geshmak now, when are you going to have it? And it's not the Torah's fault. It's our fault. Right now, it's the perfect time to start anew. It's a new Zman. It's the first week of the Zman. First Shabbos of the Zman. It's Rosh Hashanah in a couple of weeks. Beginning of a new year, a new Hischachis. The whole world, Hayom Haras Olam, the world becomes new again, refreshed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes the refresh button and the world is brand new. Now's the time that we could find a newness in our life. We can make a Kabbalah, Bli Neder, to try to really find. It's not, you're not doing God a favor. You're doing yourself a favor by being Makabal on yourself and on myself to be able to learn with Asmada, to be able to try to put away the distractions and really focus when we're supposed to be learning to learn. I'm not saying you should cut out of college classes to learn but when we're learning, Chach, let's learn. Learn when you're supposed to learn. And when we learn when we're supposed to learn, then we'll want to learn even beyond that. Into lunchtime we're going to want to learn, and night seder, and after night seder, because it's geshmak. But we can't always vacillate, we can't always pivot. And, you know, I want this world, I want the next world, I want this world, and that. Just make a decision. I want both worlds. And you can have both worlds. And the way to have both worlds is to find that mesikos arevas hatayr, v'samachta b'chalatayv. Appreciate the good that you have right now, today. The mistake that so many people make, and probably I made it myself 1,000 times, is that I'm always waiting to be happy till the next stage of my life. So when you're, you know, before your bar mitzvah, when I'm bar mitzvah, that's when I'm going to start davening with the geshmak, putting with my tefillin. Then your bar mitzvah, nah, you know what, I'm going to wait till I'm, you know, in high school. High school, it's going to be Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, when I get back, graduate, marriage, kids. There's always another, the goalpost keeps moving. And you're always saying, that's when I'm going to be matzliach, that's when I'm going to be happy. That's when I'm going to succeed, and it's Baba Meisah. It's the Yetzirah trying to get you not to focus today. But the way to be matzliach in life is to take every day that this is your day. This is our last day. Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention Rabbi Barry Nathan, who was a I'm sure we all know him. He was the he was in charge of recruitment in yeshiva, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. He worked tirelessly for yeshiva. Many of you that are probably here in no small part because of his efforts. And he was he had yena machla. He was not a healthy man for many, many years, and he put his keiches and his all of his kishreinus, his very very, very impressive kishreinus into building the yeshiva and making it larger and better, be'echus u'bekamos, in his role. And he was nifter yesterday, and he was a young man. He was a young man in the prime of his life, beautiful family. And we can learn a lot from Rabbi Nathan, but in the context of just what I'm saying right now, and this is a personal musar shmuz to myself because he wasn't that much older than I, you have to take from these people one lesson, that life is not forever. Life is not forever. You don't always have all the years that you think you have. And this isn't, I'm not putting, al tiftach el asad, we should all live ad mei v'asrim shana, with gezunt, with parnasa, with priyas, with nachas. But life is what the Rabbeinu Shalom decides is our life. And we don't know. No one ever came to us and said, you're going to live until you're 85, and you're going to live until you're 105. You don't know. We've had many people this year in Queens itself, young men, Talmidei Chachamim, fine balabatim that were nifter like in the dark of night. Asher bin Laila Haya bin Laila Avar. You're like, it's it. In one night, they're gone. Corona, this, that. Life is not forever. Don't think that tomorrow it's going to be, I'm going to have that opportunity to learn Geshmak. Tomorrow I'm going to understand the Sarach Chaim HaKadosh better. It's today. It's today. Don't after the shmuz go and run and, you know, start checking your phone, your messages, your emails. Kaparayim. You're going to be in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s what you decide to do right now after the shmuz. Shabbos is an opportunity. We don't have the excuse of college and homework. And the Shabbos is Shabbos. We have a choice to make every Shabbos. I could use those long Friday nights in the winter that are coming up to learn as much as I can with a chavrusa, with a geshmak, stay in yeshiva and shteig, or we could, you know, go to sleep early and wake up late and, you know, sleep a bagel. And it's our decision. Of course it's our decision. We have bechira. But if you want to have the mesikas hatayr, forget about Olam Haba. This isn't a shmuz about Olam, it's Olam Haza. If you want to understand what the beauty of Olam Haza is, you want to feel that ba'avasei tishke tam, you want to be intoxicated with Taira, it starts here and now. Don't wait, because we might not have it tomorrow. Tomorrow is today. Everything that we have tomorrow is because of today. We have such a great opportunity. You're young. You have the whole world ahead of you, literally. You're in a great yeshiva. You have food. You have shelter. You have health, hopefully. Use it. Don't squander it. Don't run after things that are ridiculous to run after. Don't get into situations that are untenable, unsustainable, unfulfilling. Whatever you do in life, make sure that you're happy doing it. If you're going to choose a career, by the way, this isn't a career schmooze. But if you're going to choose a career, find a career that's not perhaps the most lucrative one, but the one that you feel is going to make you happy and excited to wake up in the morning and to accomplish and to feel that you're doing good for society. One that you're able to spend time with your family. One that you're able to learn. It doesn't matter. I have friends that are lawyers and doctors and whatever, and they're very successful people. They have beautiful homes and everything. But they don't have time. They work until 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they come home, they sleep an hour, they take a shower, they're back at work. So their wife and children are living pretty nicely, but they don't enjoy Lamaza. That's not a life. You're successful. Everybody's happy with you because, wow, he's successful, but you're not happy. Find something that makes you happy. But the most happiness that you will find, according to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, is Torah. And we have that. We have a Beis Medrash. We're not in the army in Russia that, you know, we're not allowed to learn. We're allowed to learn as much as we want. But the Yetzer Hara gets into our brain and says, yeah, you want to do this instead. That's going to make you happy, and that's going to make you happy. Torah is not geschmack. But Torah is geschmack. And perhaps the reason why the Yetzer Hara puts such a full-court press on learning Torah is because he knows that if he does allow you for a moment to chop what the Masikas Arevas that there is, you're never going to leave it. That's what the Svarim HaKadoshim always write, that if you see resistance to something, know that that's where the money is. The treasure lies in the place that the Yetzer Hara is not letting you enter. So the Yetzer Hara is going to let you do a lot of things in your life, but know that those things that are coming easy to you are not your mission in life, nor are they the real jewels in life. The crown jewels lie in the place that they don't want you, that the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to go. And isn't it quite interesting how every time we want to open our Gemara, we have 50 things coming into our brains, and it's so hard sometimes to sit down and open up that Gemara and to find our Chavrusa and to sit and to learn. It's so hard. Why is it so hard? Because it's so geschmack and the Yetzer Hara doesn't want it to happen. Chavetz Chaim used to say, Rabbi Chanan used to quote his Rebbe, the Chavetz Chaim, the Yetzer Hara will let a person do any mitzvah in the world. There's no resistance to buying a lulav and esrog. That's geschmack. No resistance to getting matzahs for Pesach, or everything is, all mitzvahs are gimmies. That's fine. But Torah, he says, he will never allow you to do easily because he knows that Torah is so geschmack and so valuable that he puts all of his kaychas into stopping a person learning Torah. It's a new year, a new zman, a new opportunity. And the more that we allow ourselves to enter the beautiful world, which is Torah, but I don't mean just enter it and like come in and out, but really be shakua and learning. There have been guys in yeshiva, and I'm sure you know, and you know, people do this in Eretz Yisrael also. They basically come after Sukkot. This is for the Zoom chevra who are not here yet, but in Mitzvah Hashem they'll be here after Sukkot. They come after Sukkot, and they don't come up for air until Pesach. They literally don't leave the Beis Medrash or leave the confines of the yeshiva for a whole zman. Now, I'm not advocating never going home, chas v'shalom. If you want to go home as much as you want. But when you're here, be here. When you're here, be here. Get rid of the distractions as much as you can. And focus on learning, focus on merubah, focus on your shir, focus on bekiyas, on halacha, on musar, on hashkafa, on chazara, which is so important. If you focus on that and you get your mind and your body and your heart and your soul into it, you will find that mesikas hatayra. But you have to quarantine yourself a little bit. You have to separate yourself from Olam Hazeh as much as you can. And the more you do that, there's an inverse equation. The more that you separate from Olam Hazeh, the more you'll appreciate Torah. If you're shaku and Olam Hazeh, it's very hard to have both. Very few people have successfully accomplished that, if any. But the more that you're saying, I'm on the corner of telephone and telephone, the more you'll be able to be in the world of Torah. Now, it seems funny, if telephone and telephone, that's laughable. I want to be in... You can't have both. You have to be able to explore the world of Gemara and Torah deeply and intimately in order to appreciate the Masechas HaTorah. That's just the way it is. I think the Chavis HaVavis writes that it's impossible, just like fire and water can't exist. You can't have a love of this world and a love of the next world at the same time. It just doesn't go. You can't. It's fire and water. You have to choose. You want fire, you want water. What's on your menu? I've lived a pretty long life, and I've seen a lot, and I've seen friends, and I've seen family, and I know the trajectory of people's lives, and very often, the people that have dedicated a lot of their time to learning, and their profession, but learning, they're happy. Their families are happy, they're happy, they're living a wholesome, full, complete life. And the people that have sacrifice Torah at the expense of career, at the expense of gashmius, at the expense of running after this world, they're not happy. It just doesn't go. Not they're not happy by my measure. They're not happy by their measure. Because Torah is the sweetness that everybody craves in their life. And the more they're able to have the sweetness and share the sweetness with their family, and learn with your children, and at the Shabbos table, sing Zmiras, and bring Kedusha, and bring Torah into your home, the more happiness you will have. And the less. It's just the way it is. It's just the reality. So Mitzvah Hashem, as we are entering this new Zman, we should really try for ourselves, not for the Rabbi Nisham, for ourselves. If we want to have a sweetness in our life, we should undertake this year to have more of a focus and a concentration on learning. Night Seder should be Night Seder. Morning Seder should be Morning Seder. If you're doing Afternoon Seder, Afternoon Seder. But whatever it is, try really throwing yourself into the Yam of Torah, into the Yam of Talmud, and swim. And before you know it, you'll swim so beautifully. You don't want to get out of the pool. Because you're going to have such an amazing time and love for Torah that nothing compares to it. So accept my bracha, and I'm giving the bracha to all of us, myself included, that every single word and syllable of this Aruch Hayim HaKadosh should be true by us. V'samachta b'chalatayv, we should appreciate the good that we have, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That's kikar ve'lacha adavar mait, it's so close, it's attainable. We're in yeshiva. I'm not giving the shmuz in outside of yeshiva. I'm in yeshiva. We're talking to Bnei Torah with Sfarim lining the walls and on the tables. This is where we are. We have opportunity every single moment. B'chaparayin. And the more you chaparayin, and the more you fake it till you make it, the more you'll appreciate the Torah. We'll get rid of the sores in our eyes, in our mouths, in our heart. Because the Torah will immediately heal all of that. But we have to just make the first step. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Siyat Dishmaya to have a beautiful journey. Amen. Have a good Shabbos.